Musician Billy Strings is up for 2 more Grammy Awards this year, including Best American Roots Performance for this song, Love and Regret.
Down by the river, the water's cold. Used to have a girl, but that's all right.
That's off of Renewal, which is also up for Best Bluegrass Album. If the Michigan native wins, it'll be 2 in a row. He won his first Grammy in March for his album Home at the ripe old age of 28. Just afterward, we caught up with Billy Strings on his tour bus.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And congratulations. What was that like to win your first Grammy?
It's unreal, man. I've been on the road for like the past 10 years, you know, playing, man, almost 200 gigs a year, and it's made me really reflect on everything we've been through the last few years.
Tell me about this journey for you over the last 28 years of your life that led up to this moment. Like, how did you get here? Was music in your family growing up?
Yeah, it absolutely was. My dad is a wonderful guitar player and singer and plays a lot of bluegrass music, but he can play anything, you know, rock and roll and stuff like that. But it was always bluegrass too, you know. I think maybe through his grandfather or father, somebody turned him on to Bill Monroe, and by the time I was 4 years old, I had a guitar and he taught me some chords, and my dad would play all the fancy licks and I just played rhythm.
Did you have an aha moment, like, oh yeah, like I'm good, or I just figured this thing out?
I think that moment really happened when I was about 6 years old. I'm going to paint you a portrait in words here. Little trailer, little bedroom in the back. Me and my dad are sitting there in our underwear playing bluegrass music, and he's trying to teach me chords and stuff, and I'm 6 years old. We're playing Beaumont Rag, which is this old fiddle tune, and I always messed up the chords. I was frustrated, and I just go, stop. Just, Dad, just stop. And I'm like, why don't you just play it and just let me listen? And so he did. He played the melody, and instead of holding the chord and counting to 4 and then going to the next chord and counting to 4. So instead of thinking about it like that, I listened to what his guitar was saying. It was like, you know, do 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 diddle diddle do diddle diddle do diddle diddle do diddle diddle do. After that, I was like, okay, let me try it again. Now that I really got the melody in my head, and I freaking nailed it. And he was so proud. He just leaned over and like squeezed my little hand, and that moment has pushed me to this day. I mean, I still think about that. And like the other day when we won the Grammy, who did I call? I called my dad, you know, right away. Look, Dad, you taught me well.
And you know, the first time I heard of you, I saw your name, Billy Strings, and I was like, Billy Strings, that can't be his real name. That's too perfect. Where'd that name come from?
Well, it came from my Aunt Mondi, she's not really my aunt. She's just one of my mom's best friends. You know, she's the one that gave me that nickname when I was, like, just a little kid. She just said it one time. Look at little Billy Strings over there trying to play with all the big dogs. And later on, when I was a teenager, I went to visit her when she was on her deathbed. And somebody told her we were there, and she got out of bed. She come out to the garage, and it wasn't long before the guitars got busted out, you know, because Mondi always wanted to hear us play. Man, it was just this crazy thing. I mean, she hadn't drank in 4 or 5 years, and she's been sick, and she's just been laying in bed. And, you know, we start playing music, and she gets up and starts dancing, and she grabs the joint and starts hitting it, and she cracks a beer. And she's like, I haven't drank in 4 years, you know? And it was just amazing. And we sat there and just played all night, man.
Yeah.
And she died not long after that, and that was around the same time that in Traverse City, I was just beginning to like play open mic nights and stuff. And after she died, when I went up to the chalkboard to write my name up there, I wrote Billy Strings, you know, in her honor.
Well, Billy, I think Mondi knew what she was doing with that name. I think she got it pretty spot on. Why don't we listen to some of your music? Because we read that you actually spent a lot of time in heavy metal bands as a teenager. And I think we can kind of hear that at the end of your song Home on the album. Let's listen. You know what's interesting about your music? I feel like we actually hear a lot of different genres in there, not just traditional bluegrass.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised on bluegrass, but I also, you know, by the time I was 10 or 11, my dad got me an electric guitar. And that's when I started learning about Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Johnny Winter, Yes, and, you know, Pink Floyd. And that made a big impact, especially Johnny Winter's guitar playing, you know, and the psychedelia of Pink Floyd was really interesting. You know, like as a young kid with a very imaginative mind, listening to the album The Dark Side of the Moon was like watching a movie.
Well, it's not all genre mixing here, right? Let's listen to another song called Hollow Heart, in which you say you were trying to write an old bluegrass song. Here it is.
You move around like running water. It seems like you might never settle down. Well, I spent a lifetime waiting for you while you were running around the town. You'll always have a place with me, dear. A place inside this hollow heart of mine. But it's all right, my little darling.
You know, we do a lot of stuff, like you said, where there's different genres and there's, you know, weird sounds and effects. But I like to also always have some pure bluegrass in there. Almost like a palate cleanser, I guess.
Yeah. You know, to my ear, Home is actually filled with other songs that are quite dark. For example, there's this one. It's called Enough to Live.
Enough to kill you. Enough to put you down. Seem like every way you turn is like a hard wind coming down. Enough to leave me here.
You wrote that for two friends of yours, I understand, who died as a result of taking heroin laced with fentanyl, and I'm going to ask you about that in just a minute if you don't mind. But first, there's also this track called Guitar Piece. It's instrumental, and it also has a somber feel to it. Can you tell me what you were trying to do here?
I pretty much got high and turned on the mics and tried to come up with something on the spot. I was watching this George Harrison documentary where there was a lot of him and like Ravi Shankar doing just kind of stream of consciousness playing, you know? And I wanted to do something like that. So I just smoked a bunch of weed and tried to put something out.
Does that help you in the creative process? Because I know some artists are kind of conflicted about that.
Yeah, I think so. Soon as I would smoke a little bit, I'd be like, man, where's my guitar? You know, and I'd just go find it and just go play.
Do you think you could do it as well without the drugs?
Yeah, I don't know if it just helps me get into the mood of the song or the emotion or what, you know. I mean, there's been several times in the last few years where I did stop smoking, and I don't think it affected my music at all.
Yeah, no judgment for me. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I do want to ask you about something else related to drugs, and this is serious. I said before that some of your friends had died of an overdose, and I just want to see if you'd be willing to talk about that for a moment and tell me how they inspired your music.
Well, yeah, that song, Enough to Leave, I wrote that after two of my friends died of a heroin overdose within probably a week of each other. One friend was this girl who I went to elementary school with, and my other buddy was kind of responsible for almost getting me into the scene that I'm in now. Man, I was just crushed, you know? So I just sat down and wrote that song and kind of wanted to do something for him, and that's kind of all I know how to do.
I give you diamonds, I give you rings and pearls. If you could stay a while with me and just hold on to this world.
Billy String, before I let you go, you're speaking to us from your tour bus. I mean, you're about to perform in Florida. What's that like? I mean, because this whole year for artists has been very complicated and really difficult, being locked up. Are you back on the road?
I'm back on the road in a sense. We're playing one in Florida where there's, you know, socially distanced sort of pods. And then when we go to New Orleans and play, like, there's nobody there. You know, they're just live streaming shows. So, like, you know, we're on tour, but we're still playing for the internet. We are doing some of those socially distanced events, and it's going to be incredible. I can't wait to play for people again. That's what I do. I know it's a release for a lot of those folks, as it is for me. Just getting able to get together with my band and play music is such a blessing.
Well, why don't we go out listening to some more from your Grammy Award-winning bluegrass album, Home. Billy Strings, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to speak with you, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much for having me, and hopefully I'll see you out there somewhere.
Billy Strings speaking to us in March before his tour resumed full swing. The Grammys are on January 31st.
Cold, cold ashes on the ground. Nothing lost and nothing found. Friends and loved ones falling down.